So good afternoon, everyone. Today I'll be applying vaccine policy to the REAIM framework, and I will be building off of Diane's excellent foundational information that she provided. I have no disclosures. Let's briefly just go over the learning objectives for today, so bear with me. So it's to identify the implications of vaccine policy as a strategy to maintain our public health infrastructure, to describe the elements of REAIM model as relevant to policy, and to identify the broader application of REAIM as an emerging policy tool to communicate the impact of vaccine policies to public health officials, policymakers, school officials, parent groups, and medical providers. So what is health policy? Well, broadly, it is laws, regulations, and rules that are both formal and informal. Generally, it improves population health with a limited amount of resources. The policy is generally widely accepted, and so the changes are far-reaching compared to the individual level. So let's take a look at vaccine policy in the context of public health. The CDC has ranked vaccines as among the top 10 public health achievements in the 20th century. They significantly have reduced and eradicated infectious diseases in the United States. So our parents' generation have seen the eradication of polio. They're one of the most cost-effective preventive services to date. And we've seen advances recently in vaccines, both emerging infectious diseases such as H1N1 and non-communicable diseases such as cancer. Here's one of my favorite model slides. So this is a classic model of the evolution of immunization programs and prominence of vaccine safety. And overall, you could see as vaccine coverages rise, disease incidences decline. But I wanted to point to the key factor in this slide, which is right here, where you could see when there's a loss of confidence in vaccinations and the vaccine coverage starts to go down, we have a corresponding disease incidence. Whoa. There we go. Okay, so here's a historical comparison of common vaccine-preventable diseases. And you can see that these are 10 common infectious diseases. You could see that we're looking at prior to a vaccine, the annual cases and annual deaths, and then post-vaccine. Today we're going to be focusing on pertussis. This has been in the media as of late. So California has had 10 deaths due to pertussis in the last few months, and this is pretty unusual. So the pertussis vaccine emerged on the U.S. market in the 1940s, and you could see that prior to the vaccine, there were about a little over 200,000 cases of pertussis, and then annual deaths were a little over 4,000. In 2006, after the vaccine, there were a little less than 16,000 cases and 27 deaths. So, however, given the successes of vaccines over time, the concerns have really, of contracting diseases, have really shifted to concerns of vaccines themselves. So we can see that the successes of vaccines has really been their greatest downfall in the public eye. So vaccine policy has impacts on multiple levels. First is the individual level, as we just talked about. We could see this shift from concerns of vaccines, from the risk of disease to the vaccines themselves. And at the community level, we could see that there's a risk of decrease in community level protection, the herd immunity. So that also increases the risk for our vulnerable populations, such as young infants who aren't old enough to vaccinate, people who have high health risks that cannot vaccinate, and older adults who have waning immunity. At the policy level, we see a shift from focus on vaccination coverage programs to a resource diversion to exemption policy. Here's a map of the United States, and here we can see that all states allow for medical exemptions, and all but two states, that's Mississippi and West Virginia, allow for religious exemptions. 20 states allow for personal belief exemptions from vaccinations, and Colorado is one of those states. So in Colorado, all children who enter public school need to be up to date on their vaccinations. Let's take a look at that and see what that looks like from a child from 0 to 6 years of age. Here you can see the recommended vaccination schedule. And this is what's concerning and alarming to parents and what has caused a lot of media attention. So in Colorado, we have three types of exemptions. We have the medical exemption, religious exemption, and the personal belief exemption. Overall, there's a personal belief exemption rate of 5.5% in the state of Colorado. That's an estimate. However, there's geographical clustering that can go upwards to over 30%. Interestingly, a wrinkle in this story is that in Colorado, as well as other states, vaccine rates are increasing as well as at the same time that exemption rates are increasing. Here's the form in Colorado that you use to exempt from vaccines. Colorado has a relatively easy, actually a very easy exemption from vaccination policy. So the physician signs for children who exempt from vaccines due to medical conditions. Parents sign the form and date it every year for children who, or for their child, if it's a religious exemption or a personal belief exemption. So what kind of policy tools do we have to convey information to wide audiences about vaccine policy and exemption policy? Well, first, what is a policy tool? It's a type of heuristic or a shortcut to show the stages or steps of developing, implementing, or evaluating policies, and it provides guidance and how-to about the public policy. So we can see that we're lacking policy tools to convey information. Currently, our policy tools are targeted towards specific audiences, like policymakers. So we leave out parent groups, we leave out physicians, when we're trying to convey information about policy. Current policy frameworks are large in scope and difficult to convey current policy and proposed changes. They're rather bulky. Current tools do not succinctly convey things such as impact of the policy design, its development, its implementation, and its change. So let's go ahead and apply REAIM to vaccine policy. So these questions are taken from the Jill Cott article from 2007, where she applied nutrition policy to the REAIM framework. I call this the who, what slide, because it has a who, and a what. So the first who is whose health can be improved as a result of the policy. And that's the population of Denver. So Diane had mentioned you have to define your population. So due to the infectious nature of diseases that are eradicated by vaccinations, I've chosen the population of Denver, children in particular, and more specifically, the vulnerable populations that I talked of previously. The what. What organization or governing body is responsible for passing or adopting the policy? It's at the state level, so it's Colorado. Who's responsible for adhering to or complying to the policy? That's parents of children, school officials, and state health departments. And the last what organization, institution, or governing body is responsible for enforcing the policy? State health departments, and if there's a legal challenge, it's the legal court systems to uphold the laws.
5 minutes.
Okay. So let's go ahead and apply these to the REAIM dimensions. we'll be applying vaccine policy in Colorado. So we look at the R, reach. These are the people impacted. So it's the number of school-aged children who vaccinate. We'd like this percent to be ideally 80 to 90% or even above. Representativeness, who isn't at the table? This would be children who are homeschooled because they're not entering the public school system. Unintended consequences of the vaccine policy in Colorado. You might look at this as the personal belief exemption, since it's so easy to exempt from policy from vaccinations in Colorado. For example, this may put young infants at risk for pertussis. The E, effectiveness, which is risk reduction. We have stability or decreases in infectious disease rates from the vaccine policy. We want to see a stability in decreases from exemptions as well with our current vaccine policy. The A, adoption, how schools respond. So you want the core policy component to include maintaining public support for the policy in light of eroding public trust. The I, implementation, level of enforcement, health departments to monitor and enforce the vaccine policy through data and mandates and court systems to uphold the mandates. And finally, M, the maintenance, the sustainability of vaccine policy. So you want to respond to changes in disease rates and exemption rates. Consider the policy change if these rates significantly change. So in conclusion, REAIM can serve as a policy tool. However, data and dimensions must be presented accurately to avoid misrepresentation. The last thing we want to do is add more misinformation out there about vaccines or about vaccine policy. So reach and implementation as dimensions were the most accessible in the REAIM framework as I applied this to vaccine policy. So REAIM in concert with epidemiological data may yield a policy tool that's useful for conveying public health information. So vaccine policy is exciting stuff. Vaccine policy is an important strategy in maintaining population health, both impact and reach. It promotes change on individual and community levels. It reduces the risk of infectious disease outbreaks. Understanding reach and adoption of vaccine policy is important for its ongoing maintenance of vaccine policy. We want to examine these reasons why trust in policy is eroding. We want to consider various mechanisms to reach individuals who decline to participate in vaccination. This is both at the individual level and that pervasive media level that we have today. So what are some of the future directions? Well, one would be comparative effectiveness research. We would want to look at comparing vaccine policy options and outcomes. Another one is using that pervasive media through social media. Focus on provision of accurate data and information to parents making decisions about vaccination. Using new technology to address concerns such as blogs and tweets. And social media is a purpose of empowerment. So to give the user the control over the information as opposed to our traditional top-down approach of dumping down information. In fact, one of our researchers at Kaiser Permanente Colorado is kicking off a social media project as we speak, Jason Glanz. So thank you. I dropped my thank you slide, so I'd like to thank everybody.